He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
International students are just a joy to have on the campus. They bring such energy and such vitalism to the classrooms and to the campus.
I think one of the reasons why a lot of international students are attracted to New Zealand is New Zealand appreciates the multiculturalism.
So this rebuild and this recreation is of a different type of business and different industry. It's like we're two old friends who are meeting again after 2 or 3 years apart. I've changed and they've changed, and we still have that friendship, we still have that business relationship, but actually we're coming together as quite different people.
Tens of thousands of students from around the world have made New Zealand their study destination for many years. But the wheels of this thriving sector came to a grinding halt in 2020 with the beginning of the COVID lockdowns. A few weeks ago, the border reopened to international students, so they're once again trickling in. Next academic year looks set to bring New Zealand fully back into the booming market of international education. So it's time to ask, what has changed since we did this last time around? This is Lana Hart for Voices.
I'm Himasha Gunasekara. I'm a PhD student in education, and I'm researching around how social media impacts creative education of tertiary-level students.
I've come to the teeming campus of University of Canterbury to meet Himasha. We head to the student hub where hundreds of students tap on laptops or phones, catch up with mates, or grab some lunch from one of the several kiosks flowing outwards from the hub. Himasha and I grab a coffee and I ask, why New Zealand?
So I had two reasons to select New Zealand. Number one was the safety for international students. The second reason was New Zealand offers domestic fees for international PhD students.
Affordable, safe, with a good reputation as a quality education provider, New Zealand was the right choice for Himasha. There was, however, one unexpected problem.
The Kiwi accent was tricky when I speak to some of the locals, sometimes they had this very hard accent, which I had to apologize and ask them to repeat the question. So I didn't feel I was shamed or assaulted because they were really friendly, and they were willing to help.
Himasha says that despite never having left her native Sri Lanka, she settled in pretty well after she first arrived in New Zealand back in 2019, especially with having the structure and the support of the university. But that sense of ease, it didn't last long.
Less than 4 months after I arrived in New Zealand, a pandemic hit and they had to close the borders. Luckily, my husband could make it here just before they closed the borders. So I kind of felt relieved myself having someone with me at that time. It was a very uncertain period that we were not quite sure whether we will ever able to go back home or we will stuck here forever sort of a feeling, you know. In the meantime, we realized that I'm pregnant. So that was very overwhelming, and we knew it's going to be very challenging for us to having a baby during a pandemic in a new country. But we were lucky enough. We got right support from the university and from the community where we were. They were sort of taken care of us very much. My supervisors, they were great. They gave me flexible deadlines and always support you and help keep a good mental well-being, I would say.
Now, institutions that host international students are bound by a code of practice, which requires them to look after the overall well-being of the learners. The idea behind this code is that educational institutions need to deliver on a whole range of services for students that are not just about the provision of education.
Some of the things we're focusing on while we scale up to the increased number of international students is what's really maintaining the quality of international education that New Zealand's well known for. That's our reputation.
This is Heather Knox. She's the manager of the English Language School at ADA Institute of Canterbury.
That's not only quality in academic terms and the delivery of our programs, but also the whole student experience, thinking about enrolments and admissions systems, orientation is very important, the pastoral support, the non-academic support that we provide, the accommodation provision. It's a whole infrastructure which supports the international student experience, and all of that needs to be scaled up.
The world has changed since we had these high numbers crossing our borders. What's different?
The world has definitely changed, yes. I think it's useful to think back on our experiences rebuilding international education in Christchurch after the 2011 earthquake. In 2011, English language education was very strong in Christchurch. There was a broad range of providers in terms of their size, their location, their specialisms. Almost all of them closed after the earthquakes. And many of them had the intention of reopening as soon as Christchurch was back on its feet. So we had from 2011 to 2019 rebuilding the sector, and it did regrow, it certainly did regrow, but it didn't rebuild to the same size or the same diversity that existed in 2011 because the world had changed. You know, other destinations have become more popular, the global businesses had developed different strategies, and maybe New Zealand wasn't as significant a player in those global strategies anymore. So with 8 years, the rebuild was not a rebuild of the pre-2011 industry. It was a very different industry that was created. I expect the same pattern to occur now as we rebuild from the pandemic. We will not recreate the English language business we had in 2019 because we have different products now to offer. We have different organisational strategies to contribute to. Our partners are looking for different programs. So this rebuild and this recreation is of a different type of business and different industry.
Nestled in the foot of the Port Hills is Kashmir High School. Before the pandemic, it hosted over 100 international students each year. I'm here to meet Akira Myojo, who was just 14 years old when she traveled here alone from Japan a couple of years ago. I asked her about her first impressions of Christchurch.
I thought it's really calm. Everyone's relaxing, and then all the time's like going really, not like slow, but really calm, because I was in Tokyo, so Tokyo is a really huge and busy place, so I really surprised when I got to Christchurch. Everyone's know everyone's in here, so it's more small communities, so if there's something problem or something that I need to help, everyone's really like kind, really helpful, you know. Having small communities was, like, very comfortable.
Like Hamasha, things changed dramatically for the young teenager soon after she arrived.
After 2 weeks I came here, the lockdown happened. I couldn't go to school for about 2 months because I didn't speak any English. So there was some friends that, like, kindly talked to me, but I didn't know what to do in class, and because there was only 2 weeks, then I had to do the online classes. So I very struggled with systems of the online classes.
Academic study wasn't Akira's only problem. In her isolation, she experienced regular bouts of homesickness. Her homestay family kept her physically safe and supported, but with such stark language and cultural differences, weren't always able to provide emotional support.
Well, of course I was crying some days because of the, like, you know, homesick. They could hear that I'm crying, but they never asked about that. They never said, are you okay? But that was really good for me because it's very nice that people ask you okay when people's crying, but sometimes I just needed my time to, like, you know, think about it and then, you know, sort it out. So I need that time. But they just give me that time. They just, like, leave me. So that was very, like, good for me. That's what I needed.
Akira switched homestay families a couple of times over her 2.5-year stay in New Zealand. Her current one has lasted 20 months and is what she calls a wonderful relationship. Kashmir High School's international department says that, together with her host families, they have supported Akira through everything from gear for school trips and lost property to medical and dental appointments and even relationships with friends and teachers. This is pretty typical stuff for educational institutions hosting teenagers from overseas. But Heather Knox suggests that this too could be changing.
The international students who are arriving here even now are a little bit more anxious, a little bit more wary, a little bit more nervous because there are more risks involved now with international travel and spending time overseas. They're concerned about, obviously, of catching COVID overseas and what that would be like to be ill while they're away from home, having to self-isolate, having delays in their travel plans.
Do you think it's fair that schools that have taken on the role of educating international students also then have the responsibility of looking after so much more, their pastoral care, their well-being, their health?
I think it is. When an institution enrolls an international student, they know that they're taking on all of those additional responsibilities. And I think, well, if it wasn't the institution, then who would do it? Because it's the institution who should have that really close relationship and should be like the primary caregiver, if you like, for that international student. They're going to be seeing the student every day. They're going to be walking their doors every day for class. They're going to get to know that student, and they are best placed to know what they need when things don't go well. They're obviously here to learn from us, but we always learn from them as well. We learn about their homes and their cultures, and we've really missed that reciprocal learning with international learners over the past 2.5 years.
So 2023 is gearing up to be a sort of renaissance year for our very lucrative international education sector. But it comes with a lot of responsibility, and we can expect more of a focus on pastoral care and mental health issues. And of course, we can expect seeing our campuses fill up with the diversity that we love. I'm Lana Hart from Christchurch. Thanks for listening to Voices.